So what have you been up to since I spoke to you last?
Not much, unfortunately. The last couple of weeks have been almost a total write-off because the first week I was in Croatia. As soon as I got home from Croatia, I had this horrible cold. I just felt run down for most of the week. So I did start another project. I'm making a kitchen island with a butcher block end grain top. But I just haven't been able to get as much done as I normally would have done. So not very productive. How about you?
Yeah, I didn't think you were going to ask me that back. That's terrible planning. What have I been up to? Oh, so I think I told the story last time that I'd got a job to pay for the workshop. I did a little Patreon update last week and said that, yeah, the job didn't work out. There's some very dodgy stuff going on at the place. So I decided I didn't want to be associated with it. But I did 5 weeks work. The trouble is with catering is there is a social life attached to it. You do tend to go to the pub afterwards and spend some of the money you've earned, which if I'd known I was only going to be there for 5 weeks, I probably wouldn't have done. But I've got a bit of money in the bank now for the workshop because I'm super keen to get that done. So I've not really done much else. I've been working my two jobs and that's mainly it. So you're feeling better now, are you?
Yeah, all better now, thank you.
Excellent. This sounds interesting, the kitchen island thing. So sorry, do you say that's for you or is that a client's piece?
I don't know who it's for. It's one of those projects I had an idea for. It's partly a sponsored thing as well with Medite Smartply, who'll be providing the MRMDF to make the carcass. Need someone with a big kitchen.
No, well, I watch obviously Four Eyes Furniture videos and they often make something just because they want to make it and then go, this is for sale on our website now. And
that's exactly what I was thinking of doing. Yeah.
I think that's great because I have so many ideas of things I want to make, but I don't need them. Mm. I don't want that. I think I said I wanted to convert a horse box into something. Like I have no need for a converted horse box burger van bar or something, but I'd love to do one.
Or the space to put it, I should imagine.
Yeah, or the space to put it. How are you going to flatten your butcher block, or is that giving away YouTube secrets?
Yeah, I'm going to refrain from answering that one, I think. Because I tried something new that I had never tried before and I wasn't expecting to work, but it actually worked really well.
I was going to say, that sounds like a prime case for a drum sander.
Yeah, I picked up a drum sander.
Not really.
Do you think you're going to look for another job or more work?
Not straight away. In the world of YouTube, this is the busiest time of the year, the kind of fourth quarter of the year. It was okay for a month. I could burn the candle at both ends, but I can't be finishing work at 11 at night and then be back in the workshop the next morning. And you're just not motivated. You get up feeling so tired. The videos didn't suffer, but I think they would suffer if I continued because I managed to keep going for a month, but the second month I'd have just been shattered. So yeah. I've saved a bit of money now. I'm less worried about money this winter. I've got my EcoFlow stuff to power the workshop, use less power. So I'll see. I thought about getting a job. I applied for two. First one didn't get back to me. Second one I got. There's such a shortage of like chefs and people with catering experience. In fact, I went for a drink in the pub the other night with my chef friend and she's looking at getting some bar work there and he needs someone the next night. And he's like, can you do tomorrow night for me? So I could have picked up some bar work and stuff
straight away.
So I know I can get something pretty quick if I need it, but I don't want to. I want to make money from what I'm doing, and I work more than full-time hours doing this. I tend to work 7 days a week on it. You know, I should be able to earn enough to survive. Somehow stepping back and doing what I used to do made me how much I absolutely love this and how much I hated that. So I'm quite motivated to continue with this. But also with money, as soon as I have a workshop, I used to earn most of my money through selling physical items. So as soon as I get the workshop, my whole life depends on me getting a workshop, I feel, at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm very keen to get it done. Also, I'm not looking forward to being cold. You have oil-fired radiators, did you say, in your workshop?
We do. It's way underpowered because I had it when I was in my old shed. So for a building of the size of the workshop now, it's not really capable. Workshop, I'm just going to rely on the heated hoodie like I did last year with the oil-filled radiator. Should be fine. I think Milwaukee have got a new undergarment or something, but it sounded quite interesting. So I asked for one. Hopefully that should arrive before it gets too much colder because it's already cold, isn't it?
Yeah. I've been fine in the workshop, actually, because it kind of has the greenhouse effect, so it's always warmer than outside.
Yeah.
As that's almost going to be the trouble with having an insulated workshop. If you don't heat it, it can be quite cold in there. But yeah, it's a good idea, the heated jacket, because how long does that run for on a 2 amp hour battery?
The reason it's difficult to say is because you wear it for a couple of hours and then you're kind of warm enough and you don't want to get hot in the workshop. I like being slightly cold in the workshop because it motivates you to kind of keep active.
Agreed.
So I kind of turn the battery on and off as I'm wearing it.
People listening who don't want to spend probably £100 plus on a Milwaukee or Bosch one, if you go on Amazon and you look up heated jackets, I think you can get them for about £30. And they run off the little power banks you use to do your mobile phone. I actually listened to someone on the radio the other day saying about them as well. They use them to keep warm. But I think they're all Chinese made, so you tend to have to size up a bit for the Western market. But yeah, £30 is a pretty cheap option, isn't it?
Definitely.
And I think I was reading, like, electric heat is pretty much 100% efficient. That pretty much 100% of the energy is turned into heat. And it doesn't matter really if it's a bar heater or electric, whatever, if they work. But there's none that are more efficient than anything else. You just don't want to be going in the workshop and spend £4 today on heating it. That's just painful, isn't it? Especially if you're in there 7 days a week. Ends up with a lot of money.
But without it, you just can't get the motivation to actually enter the workshop, can you?
No, well, that's why I loved my wood burner, because I had the wood burner in the old workshop for 3 years. I never bought a single piece of wood for it. It was just scraps.
So this week we thought we'd talk about our strengths and weaknesses as makers.
My biggest weakness is recognizing my strengths.
I like it.
And some of them could be strengths or weaknesses depending on how you look at my field.
I've got some of those as well.
Yeah, it's complicated.
But it's an interesting one, and the idea is not to get too kind of self-involved, but just to acknowledge things that we could do better and acknowledge the things that we do well, and hopefully other people listening can relate to it and get something from it. Do we want to start with a strength or a weakness?
I think we should start positive.
Yeah.
It's very off brand for us.
Yeah.
Go on. What do you think your greatest strength as a maker is?
My greatest strength as a maker would have to be resourcefulness, I think.
It's good.
Because I feel like I am good at either scavenging materials from elsewhere or using what I've got already rather than buying things. And part of the reason for that is because I'm quite a frugal person. But also I just get a kick out of being able to use things that I've already got and not spending money. I might go on Facebook Marketplace and get something, but if I'm avoiding going to a large company to buy things, then I see that as a massive win.
Yeah, I think that's definitely you. I would agree with that quite a lot as well. And I find it just so much more satisfying and enjoying doing it. Sometimes I have a project and I buy all the components in and they're all sat there in a neat pile, all looking shiny. And I'm like, oh, it's not fun. But when you're just kind of making up as you go and finding this bit and actually that bit will work better. And like, oh, I could use that. I find that process so much more fun. There's less creativity to the project when you just go and order all the bits you need in advance.
That's true, yeah.
As when you're kind of making it up as you go along and almost what you have dictates what you're doing, and you often change direction, which you had no intention of doing. Yeah, you come up with something better in the end.
Yeah, limitations are often a really useful thing in terms of drawing the best out of the project, because you have to think about it more. You have to put more thought into it and more design into it and come up with something that you can do with what you have already. And also, if you make a mistake, if it's something that you got for free or you picked up cheap from Facebook Marketplace or somewhere else, it's less devastating.
Yeah, very true. And I see some YouTube makers impose restrictions on themselves, like the 3-tool challenge thing. Yeah, that's a really good one.
What do you think your greatest strength is as a maker?
Well, what'd be interesting is if we disagree with each other and go, no, I don't think that's your strength at all. I think you're terrible at that. I think I'm quite motivated. I get up in the morning. I always want to get out of bed and get making. And I've even been, especially in the old house, I'm like, I'm going to go to bed at 9 o'clock because I'm excited to get up in the morning and start work again.
Yeah.
I tend to work 7 days a week. I mean, it helps having no social life whatsoever. But I think I was mentioning to you a few weeks ago that all the years I've done YouTube, I've never missed a Wednesday upload. We all procrastinate, but I think, especially talking to some creative friends, I was talking to one yesterday and they're going, she's rented a space, a studio, and like, how's it going in the studio, which you've had for months? What have you made? Like, oh no, I'm still setting it up.
Mm.
And I know I wouldn't be still setting it up. I know I'd have made things. Anyway, so I think that's a strength of mine.
That's interesting because it kind of is something else that I've got on my list, but I used a different word for it. I used the word prolific. But when I wrote it down on my list, I thought, can I really put that I'm prolific when Matt's never missed a video? Because you are unusually prolific, I would say. So to be able to release a video every week for 5 years is just impressive.
Yeah, but I don't have a wife and a cat.
Hang on a minute. Is it 5 years or is it longer than that?
It's probably longer than that. I have no idea. I'm too scared to look.
Yeah. I would say I'm reasonably prolific as well, but not to the same level. But I think I've lost some of the drive that I had when I was... So this is probably a weakness. I used to be really driven to do what I do. And now I'm still driven to do what I do, but less so. I read a quote recently, success is moving from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. And that really resonated with me so much. Because when I think back to sort of working in my old shed and sort of getting started with woodworking, that's kind of how I feel the early life of my channel was. I had the enthusiasm in spades or whatever the term is. I had so much enthusiasm. So failing at things wasn't an issue because it was like, I don't care, I'm learning, I'm excited, let's get on to the next thing. And it really resonated with me, that saying. I don't know who said it, though.
I fail every week. Every project, there's something that doesn't go according to plan.
Mm.
And if you lose motivation because of that, well, I wouldn't be here and you wouldn't be here.
I almost got more done when I had a full-time job, which is really strange. But sometimes I feel like I've got all of these hours to put into this now. Why am I not achieving more? I think I might have said this on the podcast before, but my level of happiness in life kind of relates directly to how productive I am or how productive I've been. If I've achieved a lot in a working week, I can enjoy my weekend a lot more. And I think I sometimes put these unrealistic demands on myself. You know what it's like with woodworking projects. They always tend to take 50%, sometimes 100% longer than you expect them to. And for me, that knocks me in terms of, you know, how happy I feel about what I've achieved. And yeah, it kind of brings me down. So I think that's a weakness of mine mentally, if you know what I mean.
So I've got one on my weaknesses, which I think is similar, which is staying focused on one thing.
Mm.
So I think... Yeah, I was more motivated to start with, but I think that's the same with any new project. So when you've been doing it for years, it isn't new and exciting. Yeah, so it's hard. And then you look at doing other things. I'm always thinking, I'm going to go in this direction, going to go in that direction, try something else. If I just went and put laser focus just onto that, maybe I'd be better, but I'd get bored.
Yeah.
All our projects are all over the shop, aren't they, really?
Yeah.
Last week I put up a video about making a cover for a tissue box. It's been on my video ideas list for years. And I always kind of scan over and go, oh no, it's too simple. Too simple. I'm not going to do it. It's too simple. Too simple. Needed an easy video to shoot last week because I was busy. Did it. And the reception was great because people sometimes want a really simple project that they can recreate at home with minimal tools.
It's a good time of year for it as well. With Christmas coming, it's a good gift idea.
A couple of people said they're going to make them for craft fairs. So it's strange how I've put the limitation of I can't do that simple thing on myself. Mm. And actually, that simple thing did really well. I've got loads of other simple video ideas. Maybe if I did a simple video idea every week, people would hate it. But just throwing one in...
Every now and again.
Yeah. I don't know. Staying focused on one thing I've put as a weakness, but it could also be... You could word it differently, and I think you could word most of these differently, and go, willing to try new things, and put it as a positive.
Yeah.
So I think strengths and weaknesses is perhaps a bad term, but I mean, it's a good podcast title, but
yeah,
I don't think I'm going to say many things that are purely...
Good or bad, yeah.
Yeah. So you've made me think of something which I'm going to put as a strength. Organization. In the past, I think I've been organized. Like, I've had a list of, like, that's the video I'm going to shoot next. That's the one after. I'm working on this one, but I need, well, for this video I'm going to start tomorrow, I need some little 25mm casters. So I'll order them and get them in. I'm away at the weekend, and I, because of my, like, social anxiety, like, I will know what train I'm getting, what time, what time's the change. When drive places, I've looked up where the car park is and how you pay. I'm just crazy. My ex would just, she went to go somewhere, she didn't care about anything. Mm. And me, I've organised every last detail. I mean, I'm happy when I get there to go with the flow. I won't look up, like, where to go for dinner or anything. I'm just, I might have done some research on nice places, but I don't, I'm not like, we've got to be there at 8:15 and then this and this, but just the kind of transport arrangements I'm quite organised on.
One of the things I put down on my list actually was jack of all trades, master of none. It's definitely something I can relate to. Saying that, there's things that I definitely wouldn't attempt to do, usually electrical things, mechanical things, plumbing related things, because I just don't have the skills for that. And it's not something I've ever feel driven to learn, because I'm just not interested in it. I think having skills across multiple different things, you take what we do, for example, obviously we're woodworkers, we might dabble in other crafts as well. We've then got the video editing thing. We might have 3D drawing skills, even things that I picked up from old day jobs, like, you know, knowing how to use spreadsheets. All of these different skills combine to make what I do as a YouTuber much easier. I'm definitely a master of none as well, in terms of there's not any one thing that I feel like I'm particularly skilled at or a master at, but I'm kind of all right with that. I see the jack of all trades thing as a strength. I think somebody mentioned actually in a comment once about apparently how the whole saying is something like jack of all trades, master of none is surely better than a master of one or something like that, which implies that it's better to have skills across multiple different areas rather than be an absolute master at just one thing, kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. Having different skills is very useful, or even knowledge on a lot of subjects, even if you're getting a plumber in to understand what the process is, like where you want the pipes run, or it's useful, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think I'm definitely a jack of all trades too, but I'm interested in learning new skills, as in my friend's a potter. I would love to try some pottery. I'd love to try more crafts. They're fun. I do bits of plumbing. I do bits of electrical. I do bits of DIY type stuff. If I had the money, if I won the lottery, I'd pay someone to do it.
Yeah.
But if I won the lottery, I would definitely take a pottery class. I'd love to do more of the creative, crafty things. I do the more DIY things. I've been chopping a tree down in the garden last night, and I'm doing that because I haven't got the money to pay someone to do it.
Yeah.
But also, you say you're a woodworker is your prime thing. It's probably what you're known as. But in reality, you're 50% woodworker, 50% videographer, editor, YouTube. Doing all the YouTube stuff is as much of your time as the woodworking stuff. But no one kind of thinks of that. So you're probably as much a videographer as you are a YouTuber.
I guess presenting as well, to some extent. Yeah. I mean, I look back at my earlier videos in the first 6 years, five to six years of my presenting skills were awful. You know, the most frequent comment I would get is, why do you sound like a robot? But, you know, I've done it long enough now where I can talk to a camera and be reasonably comfortable. I'll still never be 100% comfortable, but it's something that I can do because, you know, I've put the time in and forced myself to do it, kind of thing.
And also, it's interesting how they view you, their perspective on it. So I was around friends the other night, we were playing silly games for a birthday party, and I met new people, and I said I was introduced as a woodworker, and they'd looked up my Instagram, and they're like, oh, you're amazing. I'm like, oh no, I'm really not. But for non-woodworkers, me and you are like master crafts people. To anyone with any kind of qualification in woodworking, we're jokes. Yeah. So it's very interesting how people look at you. I mean, I had a comment this week telling me how terrible I was.
I had a comment this week when I posted the roofing nightmares video, because I made a comment in the video about, you know, I would never feel confident enough to build a roof because I, you know, I wouldn't know where to start really. And someone commented, "You're not a carpenter if you can't put a roof together." It's like, well, yeah, I'm not a carpenter. I never said I was. People get this impression that because you're putting your work out there, that you think you're, you know, you think you're the big don.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I'm kind of putting it out there because I want to share what I've done and my journey. And it's not about setting myself up as some sort of expert at all. It never was.
When I left the job and was thinking about other things, someone said, you should do workshops. People can come around you and you like, I can't teach people how to do anything. And they're like, but you do that on YouTube. I'm like, no, I don't. I just show people what I've done. That's very different.
It is very different. Totally.
But then it's weird when I'm in the kitchen, almost every day in a commercial kitchen, I'm training people how to do things and I'm super confident. Mm. Yet I feel I'm probably a better woodworker than I am a chef.
Yeah.
So it's very strange that because I've got a certificate that says I'm a chef.
Yeah.
And I know the proper ways of doing it, that I can teach people.
But also when you look at it from another angle, it's like, what really is a qualification? Because I've seen fully qualified people doing what they're meant to do and not doing it to a standard that I would be happy with, if you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's a big grey area, really.
A lot of it is actually wanting to do the job and being interested in the job, caring about doing a good job.
You know, I think that's a massive thing, isn't it? It's having the passion.
I mean, there's probably a lot of people listening going, I wish I could quit my job and be a carpenter.
Mm.
Yet there'd be hundreds of thousands of carpenters out there that's just a job and all they want is the money and can't wait to knock off work to do other things.
Yeah, it's having that drive and determination to do it and the passion.
If you enjoy the podcast and you'd like to help, support and shape future episodes, you can find a link to our Patreon page in the show notes or just search online for Workshop Banter Patreon. Thank you, and now back to the podcast. I think another strength of mine is creativity, and that's one of the aspects I enjoy most, and I'd love to be more creative. My perception of what my audience enjoys and the YouTube schedule are limits on my creativity. If I didn't have those things, I'd probably make very different things than what I make on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd try and do much more sculptural, interesting things.
One strength that I thought of for you was aesthetics. I think you've got a really good eye for, how can I explain this? If I put up a shelf in my room and I wanted to put things on that shelf and make it look nice, I would not be good at that. I would need to ask for my wife to help me because she has more of an eye for aesthetics. I think you've got that because I think you've got an eye for putting things together that look almost like a window dresser. If you worked in a shop, you would be the one that gets called to put things in the window and make them look nice.
Yeah, good. I'd be a mannequin dresser. Can we just clarify, you wasn't asking me to move in with you?
That's a skill I would love to have.
No, that's really, really a nice one. I love Instagram. I follow a lot of accounts that just have nice looking things. Mm. It doesn't have to be woodworking, but I just find that inspiring. Just nice designs, nice artists. I like all that kind of world. Yeah. And then if anyone saw my house, it's like, why do you follow all these nice accounts and then live in this disaster that's full of badgers? But I would like to have a nice looking house with nice shelves with things on it. It's just
you'll get there eventually. It's just you haven't been there long, have you?
No, but no, that's nice. I enjoy that, the aesthetic.
It's use of materials as well. So sometimes you'll combine, like, I think I saw you work with copper pipe once, and then you'll use brass and wood, which is always a winning combination in my view, and leather. And your use of materials, I think, inspires things that look nice together.
Let's say that's what I'm looking at things in front of me. Like, I've got these two blanket chests that are going over to my mum, and like, yeah, they're okay, but they're just boxes. They're boxes.
Mm.
Didn't excite me to make wooden MDF boxes particularly. Trying new things. I think I'm good at trying new things, but then I guess also at the same time, I would say I get stuck in my ways.
I put one on my list learning new things. There are certain things that I'm really interested in. So, for example, before I did my bathroom renovation, like I said earlier, electrical stuff, plumbing stuff, not interested. But there were things that I really wanted to learn and I was interested in, like being able to understand how a bathroom floor should work in terms of moisture, dealing with moisture and tile adhesive and all of that stuff. So the difficulty for me was actually learning that stuff and where to go to learn that stuff, because I really wanted to learn that stuff, but I couldn't really find the right source of information. That's usually where YouTube comes in terms of being able to sort of learn from somebody that's been doing it for years and understands these things. But unfortunately, when you look outside of the woodworking world, there's not actually too much information out there about other trades. I've been watching a guy do plastering and rendering, which is another thing that I'm really interested in. And I obviously got some horrible comments when I did my rendering and pebble dash stuff. But the thing is, I had just learned what I could. I'd taken what I could from the internet. It worked fine. But when you see all of these experts basically commenting saying, this isn't how you do it, if you're going to criticize me and you know the right way to do it, show us. Show the people that want to learn this stuff how to do it right.
But it's interesting that you want to learn all those practical skills, because I'm the opposite. I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy all the things you're describing, like how the floor in a bathroom, I'm getting stressed just listening to it. Something that has to be done properly because of a reason. And if I do it wrong, it's going to cause problems. I don't like any of that stuff.
No.
The blanket chest, and like, I can't really go wrong. Either it's going to hold blankets or it's not. But if I mess up my bathroom floor and it's causing damp in the house, and I would worry about it, and I'd probably lose sleep over it. Like, even if it was fine, there's consequences if you don't do them right.
That's true, but I guess it goes back to what we've talked about in previous episodes, and I don't want to be known as a tradesman basher, if you know what I mean, but I almost feel like if I do a job myself and I've put as much research into it as I possibly can, then I'll have usually better results than I would hiring a tradesman. But that's just from my experience, because like I say, I've had more negative experiences than positive, unfortunately. I know tradesmen have loads of value in terms of experience and knowledge, but I also think sometimes when you do things yourself, you can just make sure everything has a bit more care put into it.
Yeah, it's also knowing your own limitations. Like, you decided that the plastering was the time to get a professional in.
Yeah.
And same with the roof. I know you've got a video coming up about changing your flat roof into a pitched roof, but I bet actually a lot of the stuff isn't that complicated.
That's true. I mean, now I've seen it get built, I could probably do it myself. It would take me 5 days. Whereas, you know, a tradesman could probably do it in 5 hours. It's one of those things, isn't it? You don't really know how to do things until you've seen it being done with your own eyes. You know, it would take me much longer. It wouldn't be as good, but yeah.
Yeah, you just got to pick your battles, haven't you?
I think I've run out of strengths.
I've run out of strengths. How long have we been recording for? So what have you been watching this week?
So I've got a channel called Martin Murray. It's a channel that's really in its infancy. I mean, he's got 336 subscribers. He's posted about 20 videos in total. But his videos are excellent. They're so well put together. He only uploads occasionally, but when he does, I really like his stuff. The latest video he did was about using plug cutters, but he used them in a really creative way. I won't say any more than that because I don't really want to spoil the video. I want to push people over to go and check out his channel because it's really good. It's another UK-based channel as well, which is always nice to see. So yeah, Martin Murray, I'll leave a link in the show notes.
Excellent, I'll check that out. I like a plug cutter. I'm sure I've recommended Laura Camp before. She's one of my favourite YouTubers. She moved away from the workshop and been doing the house renovation. And I was like, oh, I just don't like house renovation stuff. I almost find it stressful to watch.
Yeah.
I don't find it relaxing because I'm just like, oh, it makes me think of my house and all the things I've got to do to it. But it's been an emotional roller coaster. You just can't believe what she's had to do to this house. So that's good. But I was actually going to recommend one of her videos where she was in the workshop recently with another YouTuber, Simone, and they made these dice, set of three dice, and you roll them, and it's like one's a material and a method and a tool or something. I can't remember what's on them, but it's when you're stuck to come up with a project idea.
Right.
And like, okay, that's not for me. I intend to make things not for the sake of it, but it was really interesting watching them do it and then both doing a different project and coming up with different ideas.
That sounds interesting.
I liked the creativity of that. So that was good. Also, I recommend a house renovation, but you've got to start at the beginning and see the whole thing. Because
I've watched a few of them. I saw the bit with the termites and everything, and it was pretty devastating.
It gets worse. Thank you for listening. You can find Keith on YouTube by searching for Rag N Bone Brown and me by searching for Badger Workshop. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to help support us in making future episodes of the podcast. Link to that in the show notes. And we have a Workshop Banter Instagram and Facebook page if you'd like to get in touch, which is @workshopbanter, all one word.